you don't know me, my name's Narayan Kavacha Das. I'm a disciple of Satsvarupa Goswami. I joined a while ago, and I preach mainly in the Caribbean and Mexico, and a little bit in New York. So I'm just visiting here today. I'm going to the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. They're going to do a couple of procedures on me. So let's see what we can do to enlighten ourselves with the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that's been translated and explained in Bhaktivedanta purports by our founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The text for today is text number 39, is that correct? Okay. So am I supposed to say it? Okay. Are you gonna repeat it, or I'm just gonna say it? I say the whole thing? Ah, okay. I'll say one line and then you'll correct me. Okay. Aste stanur ivaikatra divyam varshas shatam tira vasudeve bhagavati nanyad vedo bahan ratim aste stanur ivai katra divyam varsha shatam stira vasudeve bhagavati nanyad vedo Bahan Ratyam. Somebody who can say it better. Today song, here we are, Kansam. Divyam Varsha Satam Sidaha. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Nanyad vedo vaham ratim. Sudevasam ayikatra. Yamarsam sira. Vasudeve bhagavati. Nanyad vedo vaham ratim. Asisam yivacham. Yam Rajasasi Samsira Sudeve Bhagavati Anam Virod Vahan Ratim. You're the only ones who can say it better than me? Okay. I don't feel that bad. Matajis, I know you can all say it better. Go ahead. Sudeve Samsi Vakra Divyam Varsha Shatam Sira Vasudeve Bhagavati Nanyad Vedo Vahan Ratyam. Nobody else? Oh, do you have children here? No? Okay. Do I do word for word? Aste remains, stanu immovable, iva like, ikatra in one place, divyam of the demigods, varsha years. Shatam, 100. Stira, steady. Vasudeve, unto Lord Krishna. Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na, not. Anyat, anything else. Veda, did know. Udvahan, possessing. Ratim, attraction. Okay, Prabhupada's translation. In this way, he stayed immovable in one place for 100 years by the calculations of the demigods. After this time, he developed pure devotional attraction for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and remained fixed in that position. And also the explanation, the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He starts it with a Bhagavad Gita verse from the 7th chapter. It's the 19th verse. Bakunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlava. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me. Knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. That's from Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter. Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is everything. And if one who knows this, and one who knows this is the greatest of all transcendentalists. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that one realizes this after many, many births. This is also confirmed in this verse with the words, Divyam Varsha Shatam, 100 years according to the calculations of demigods. According to the calculations of demigods, one day, 12 hours, is equal to 6 months on earth. 100 years of the demigods would equal 36,000 earth years. Thus, King Malahyadvaja executed austerities and penances for 36,000 years. Has anybody been in the movement longer than that? 37,000 years? Raise your hand. No? Okay. So he's got us. He's senior. He gets the flame first. How many thousand years? Do you remember? 36,000 years. Okay. That helps me find my place. After this time, he became fixed in devotional service of the Lord. To live on earth for so many years, one has to take birth many times. This confirms the conclusion of Krishna. To come to the conclusion of Krishna consciousness and remain fixed in the realization that Krishna is everything, as well as render service unto Krishna, these are the characteristics of the perfectional stage. And as said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila, 22:62, Krishne Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Haya. When one comes to the conclusion that Krishna is everything, by worshipping or by rendering devotional service unto Krishna, one actually becomes perfect in all respects. Not only must one come to the conclusion that Krishna is everything, but he must remain fixed in this realization. This is the highest perfection of life, and it is this perfection that King Malayadvaja attained at the end. So this chapter, it's a story like the Bhagavatam stories. It's about Paranjana becoming attached to his wife and then what happens to him and all these different births and things that happen. Later on we'll find out how it works out. But in this particular case, this devotee attains perfection. And Prabhupada very kindly mentions Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the reason why he mentions Chaitanya Charitamrita is because in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there's something special is given there. Does anybody know what that special information is? Some way to maybe make those 36,000 years a little shorter? No one knows? You're not used to have people ask you questions. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I've been staying here for a few days. I'm very much impressed. The temple is never quiet. There's always someone here chanting Hare Krishna. And us devotees who are not fortunate enough to take birth in India and we work for Prabhupada, we work for ISKCON, and they send us away to faraway places. I happen to speak Spanish, so they send me to these countries. And maybe two or three people show up at the Mangalarti, and maybe someday I might be offering Prabhupada's Guru Puja and singing at the same time. And then on Sundays they come, and for festivals and things they come, and they try, but the material nature is very strong. Material nature is also very strong. In fact, it's practically the strongest that you could find anywhere on earth in Mumbai. It's equal to, in sinfulness it must be equal to any city, or above any city. But somehow in this piece of land, this small piece of land where Prabhupada came and sat and fought, and he wouldn't leave, and he installed the deities here, and he just fought for this piece of land so that this temple could be built here. And later the devotees continued fighting, and all these buildings are built, and now this is an oasis where devotees like myself, Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Shri Vanitai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Shri Hanuman Lakshman, every year we get the chance to come here and see what a real temple is like. And then we go back to our little preaching areas and we try to imitate you. So thank you for that. Thank you for all your enthusiasm. Thank you for chanting all day in this temple and making this such a spiritual atmosphere. Thank you for letting devotees from all over the world stay here. Someone came up to me just before I sat down to give class. They said, "Haribo, where are you from?" I said, "From New York." He goes, "Oh, I'm from Australia." So this is the training ground. You're training devotees here, just like Prabhupada had this idea in Allahabad to the League of Devotees back in the 50s. 1950s, he had this idea that he would get students and he would train them in Krishna consciousness and they would travel all over the world and they would preach Krishna consciousness in open centers and teach people how to chant Hare Krishna, how to not take birth after birth after birth after birth. Even a pious man like this king, he is very pious. Still, it took him so long to reach perfection. But Lord Chaitanya, because we're not capable of doing this, we're very feeble-minded, unlucky, misguided, like that. Lord Chaitanya gave us an easy, simple way. So, can just sit here with you, you chant Hare Krishna, I listen, I chant with you, I capture that in my heart, I get on an airplane and I fly some faraway place and I get off the airplane and then I just tell them what you told me to say. I just chant like they chant in Juhu, Hare Krishna, and then that gives your potency. So thank you for that. And it's going on. You should know that devotees are passing through here constantly. Yesterday, some devotee came to my room. They're from Suriname and Guyana in South America, and they came here, and then they're going back to their country, and they're doing also the same thing. So what Prabhupada wanted, it happened. It's happening right now. It's alive. The movement is alive. And as long as you come here, take a little bit of time, or you come and live here if you can, and if you can't come and live here, support the temple, come when you can, and make it a place for all of us to come and get refreshed every year and to see what it's like to be in a temple full of devotees who are eager to chant Hare Krishna and who have such a taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Your kirtans go. I take rest early because I chant my rounds early. Not one night have you've been chanting every night when I take rest. You chant way past when I take rest. It's really incredible. You chant morning till night. It's really wonderful. So thank you for that. I just wanted to say that. It's a great gift that you give to our entire movement. I'm on a committee in the GBC. It's called the Prabhupada Position Committee. And His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj is on that committee. And so the rest of us, well, Bhakti Charu Swami, he's also on that committee. But other than that, we're all from different parts of the world. And so we're saying, well, you know, it's difficult in other parts of the world. And people, they really don't know who Prabhupada is. And they're, you know, they meet somebody, and if that person doesn't try to convey to them love for Prabhupada, then they just become attached to that person. And what happens if that person has difficulty Or what happens if that person doesn't have difficulty, but if they're not attached to Prabhupada, then later on our movement starts to splinter one side, you know, well, we're disciples of this person and we're disciples. But actually we're all in the same family. You may have one guru, I may have another guru, there's so many different gurus, but all the gurus are under Srila Prabhupada, and all of us are disciples of Srila Prabhupada. What kind of disciples of Prabhupada are we? Does anyone know that? Does anyone know the answer? Just check and see if anybody's awake. Shiksha disciples. What's that mean? Anybody? Come on, it's your language. What does it mean? Oh, here's the Westerner with his hand up. Okay, what's it mean? An instructing spiritual master. But he is the instructing spiritual master. Why do we have Mangalartik? Because Prabhupada set up the program. Why do we have Guru Puja? Because that was Prabhupada's program. Why are we having Bhagavatam class every morning? Srila Prabhupada. Whose Bhagavatam are we reading? Srila Prabhupada's. Whose books do we read? Whose books are the fundamental essence of everything we learn about Krishna consciousness and the books upon who everyone else's books are based? Srila Prabhupada. So he's not just a instructing spiritual master for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He is the instructing spiritual master for all devotees in this society. And each of us, we may have disciples of our own. They're talking now that a transition needs to be made from, because already the disciples of Srila Prabhupada are disappearing. Prabhupada is calling them back. So what will happen to our movement when they disappear? Who will initiate and how will it go on? So they're talking about that in the GBC level and different committees that I was attending in Mayapur. The devotees are thinking, well, it has to go on, and it has to go on in the way, what way? In the way that it's all, in the way that's a bona fide way, but the way that Prabhupada set out, that we should have still Diksha Gurus who are present. So we're thinking, but always under the guidance of our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. So they're talking about that if a devotee is fixed and can at least deliver a few devotees, not thousands, but just a few devotees who he can care for and teach, if he can deliver them to the feet of his spiritual master, if he can deliver them to the feet of Srila Prabhupada, then if you read Prabhupada's books, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will see that the ultimate service for a devotee is to take up that responsibility and to teach others, to give them the Hari Nam and to teach them. So we shouldn't shy. They were saying the problem is that devotees don't think that they're qualified. They're afraid. They're afraid there'll be, no one is volunteering to take up this service. They're saying, well, I'm not qualified, or they'll just laugh at me if I say, or I'm afraid that I have too much pride in my heart and I'll fall down if I put myself forward like that, and so many different reasons. So, and those are all valid reasons. And there are things to really be aware of. But It's our turn. Some of you, I'm old, so I actually don't even get hit very hard by this, but those of you who are young, it's going to be your turn. So you need to prepare yourselves, because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the world. And where I go, there's several thousand people. They're spread out. So I was, making an exaggeration that one time I went to Guru Puja and I had to do both the puja and sing the prayer, but there are lots of devotees there. They just need guidance. They need devotees like yourselves to show them. So it's good that you stay here. Prabhupada said phase one of his preaching he did for his spiritual master. His spiritual master asked him to preach Krishna consciousness in the West. So phase one, Prabhupada went to the West with practically nothing, and he suffered he suffered three heart attacks on the way on the Jaladuta. And he had no money, and they took him. If you've ever been to this place where his sponsor was, it's in Butler, Pennsylvania. I'm trying to think of some place in India that's equal to Butler, Pennsylvania. No place. It's like it's Nothingsville. Nothing is near it. It's a tiny little town. It's just, there's no possibility of doing anything in Butler, Pennsylvania. And Prabhupada figured that out, so he went to New York City. Even though he had no place to stay in New York City, and he was going around and leaving his Bhagavatams at stores on consignment. Because you know what that word, consignment? I'll leave you these books, and if they sell, then you pay me the money. So Prabhupada kept his little journal that he paid, this many rupees for the bus fare, and he went to this bookshop, and he collected $3, and this is how, and then he had one expenditure. He bought some fruit or some vegetable, just barely getting by. And then a thief broke into he had one room in this big building. Like they have all these big buildings coming up around here. So in the inside of the building, they have these utility rooms. They don't have any windows to the outside. So Prabhupada could only afford to rent one of these rooms. It wasn't really meant to live in. It didn't have any bathroom or any kitchen or any windows. But it was a space. So they rented it to Prabhupada, and he lived there. And he used his trunk, those metal trunks they sell here. He used his trunk for his desk, and he had an old typewriter, and he was doing Bhagavad Gita. And someone broke into that room and stole everything. And so he had to start over again. So we can remember Prabhupada's strengths when things go difficult. When things are difficult for us, we can remember how hard he worked. So they met one man later on when we were doing the interviews for the Prabhupada Lilamrita. You know what that is? The Prabhupada Lilamrita, the story of Srila Prabhupada's life. There are many books now about Srila Prabhupada's life. But we did, though, in 1978 or so, we began the research for that. And there was a man who, I think he drove a bus, and his bus stopped at this little park, and he would get off and eat his little lunch sandwich and sit on the bench at the park. So he would often encounter Prabhupada sitting on that same park bench, and they would talk. So somehow a devotee found this man. He hadn't become a devotee. He just remembered Prabhupada. And he remembered that Prabhupada would sit there, and He didn't really have anything. He didn't really have any place to go or anything to do. He was just trying to get something established. And the man said that Prabhupada would tell him how he had temples all over the world. How he had 108 temples all over the world. He said, but only time was separating. But really, he had like a few rupees in his pocket. He didn't have any temples. He barely even had a place to stay. But he had faith in Krishna. So that happened. As we know, there are temples all over the world. There are thousands and hundreds of thousands of devotees all over the world. In the United States about 15 years ago, they did a poll in the United States of America. They did a poll trying to find out what religion was more predominant in the United States. So they had, you know, Christianity and Muslim, they had Hinduism, they had all the ones they thought were major religions. And then they had other. And they had, Hare Krishna was not on the list. But they had, I'm trying to remember what the number was. It was a big number. It was like 1 million people wrote Hare Krishna as their religion. It wasn't a choice that they checked. They had to actually write it in. They wrote in Hare Krishna was their religion. So a big effect has been made. Hare Krishna is like it's a household word everywhere in the world. People know what karma is. In fact, Sony or Toyota or these companies, they use the karma idea, or Nike, all these big companies. Nobody ever, when I grew up in the United States, I never heard of karma. I had no idea what it was. It came from Prabhupada's book distribution. It came from Prabhupada's mouth. So that was the first phase of his preaching. And what was the second phase? He said that he did for his spiritual master, and then when he established 108 temples around the world, he came back to India. And he said, in India I did for myself, from my inspiration. So he developed these temples. This temple in Juhu, what did he call this temple? Does anybody remember that? His office, right. So this is Prabhupada's office. So the idea was that all these temples in the West, they're surrounded by materialism, and the devotees are like myself. I came from this Malecha family. My family was not pious at all. I was not taught anything about Krishna consciousness. I didn't learn anything valuable in my life until I met my spiritual master. And by then I was already 22 years old. So, and a lot of conditioning happens in 22 years. So I had all that conditioning to come overcome, and all the karma to overcome. And then the family is not supportive. The family is actually demoniac. The family is trying to convince you to not be a devotee of Krishna. They don't believe. So many things to overcome. So Prabhupada said, let us establish temples in India where the devotees are naturally inclined, where people are naturally inclined, where they understand who is Krishna and they love Krishna naturally. And that way the rest of us can come from all around the world, and we can get some enlivenment. We can see what it is to see a temple so beautiful, with beautiful murtis and devotees, full of devotees. It says here, really big. Please finish. No, it says, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Please finish Srimad Bhagavatam class at 9 a.m., including question and answer session. That's why I started asking questions early, so so I didn't want to get in trouble. What time is it? Ten to nine. Okay. So that was the second part, to establish temples in India. And if he hadn't have done that, I don't know what would have happened to us out in the rest of the world. If it weren't for your temples and your association, I don't know what would happen to me. So thank you so much for coming here. You may think it's a small thing that you're doing, but it's not. We all know in our hearts, every devotee who's not from India, the only thing they think about is only a few more months and I can go back to India. I just have to do this, go this place, go that place, do this much service, and then I can go back. And when I go back, then I can be surrounded by devotees and I can get enlivened again and get fortified again, and I can go back and preach. Everyone is thinking like this. So you're like the engine that's powering the movement all around the world. And don't forget that. This is truly Prabhupada's office, and truly from this office, there is preaching going on everywhere around the world. So does anyone want to ask me a question? Yes?
Hare Krishna, a lot of devotees say that Krishna consciousness is their religion, but they jeopardize a lot of the cultural standards. And they incorporate things from Western culture, which just don't mesh with Krishna consciousness. It's like a rasa-basa. And Tamal Krishna Goswami also said in a lecture once that if we have the philosophy, but we don't have the cultural presentation as well, a lot gets lost, and it's just not as attractive, and the philosophy permeates the culture. So my question is, how can we preach Krishna consciousness around the world without jeopardizing our standards, or which also leads to jeopardizing the philosophy and Prabhupada's standards? He's the founder Acharya, which means we should follow his example and his standard, but it seems that many devotees are actually changing the philosophy to fit Western paradigms of humanism, etc., things like that. So my question is, how can we effectively transmit the culture of Krishna consciousness and not just the ideas or the theory of it? Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, you actually heard this when I said including questions and answers, right? By 9 a.m. So you gave me 5 minutes or 3 minutes to answer that question. Well, there's one simple way, and that's that we have to become ourselves Krishna conscious. We have to exemplify in our personal behavior and in the way we deal with others and in the way we walk and talk and speak and live and have fun and laugh and make friends. We have to be Krishna conscious. I'm from a different culture. In the beginning, I remember my first time I came to India, I thought in India everyone was a devotee. Everyone. So I was like paying my obeisances to like Muslims on the street, vendors on the corner. I didn't know that only some, I thought everybody was a devotee. I'm so happy to be here. So then I realized that you have the same problems in India that we have everywhere else. Only you have a little bit up, because Krishna consciousness, the science of Krishna consciousness has been safeguarded inside the culture of Vaishnavism, inside the culture of India. So, but it's not exactly synonymous with the culture of India. Krishna consciousness and Indian culture are not exactly the same thing. But it's hard to actually separate, because some things that are culturally from India are Krishna conscious, and some things may not necessarily be Krishna conscious. So it's a larger question that he asked, and it has to be, Prabhupada says in the first canto, first volume, there are many purports where he wrote this in Radhadamodar before he went to the West, and he said that every devotee who accomplishes anything has to be able to preach according to time and place. He has to be able to give Krishna consciousness according to time and place. So in order to give Krishna consciousness, what's the one thing that you have to have? Does anybody know that one? You have to be Krishna conscious. If you're not Krishna conscious, then whatever it is you're giving someone, it's not Krishna consciousness. So if you have Krishna, you can give Krishna. And culture, this kind of culture, that kind of culture, you can adjust things according to time and circumstance. But first, you have to get Krishna. Because if you try to go and preach and you don't have Krishna in your heart, then yes, you're preaching some watered down philosophy, you're preaching something that has faults in it by pride, and we can't wait until we become pure, pure devotees. It's like the house is on fire, so we have to go and preach anyway. So how do we know that we're preaching pure, pure Krishna consciousness? Just repeat what Prabhupada said. And if you repeat what Prabhupada said, what Krishna says, He will give you knowledge in your heart. Krishna will give you all the knowledge of the Vedas, all the knowledge of Krishna consciousness in your heart. He will illuminate your heart if you sincerely try to be His servant. If you pray to be His servant, He will give it to you. It's a complicated question you ask, and devotees all over the world are trying to figure out how to do this, how to spread Krishna consciousness in a way that it's attractive to people and that they don't see it as we're just trying to spread Indian culture. But there has to be a culture. What is a spiritual culture? Like Arjuna asked Krishna, okay, so now you've explained to me that I'm not my body, I'm a spirit soul. So what does a spirit soul do? How does a spirit soul act? How does he walk? How does he talk? What does he do? What is a spiritual person like? So this, Arjuna asked this very same question to Krishna when Krishna explained to him that he wasn't his body. So the answer is the same answer as it always is. We have to really try to become advanced as quickly as possible. We have to pray for Krishna to move our tongues, to move our lips, to take over our mind and intelligence. We have to absorb ourselves in chanting Hare Krishna. We have to become Krishna's instrument, and then Krishna will figure out how to touch the hearts of those persons who hear us. And that's the only answer I can come up with in this amount of time. Thank you for listening to me, and Hare Krishna. Thank you for all your blessings and association. Jai. It's over.
It's over.